listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Well, we are coming into what I would call the season of questions. Questions around the Thanksgiving table. Questions around the Christmas dinner table. Many times, we are the ones asking those questions. Other times, we're the ones responding to those questions. Many times, those questions are lovingly asked as family and friends reunite and catch up and check in. You're making these plans now? Are you starting to think about these Thanksgiving tables and these Christmas tables? Many times the questions around the tables are lovingly asked. Well, can you tell us a little bit about life in the big city? How are classes going? What new projects are you working on these days? You know when you get asked a genuine question, how the asker truly wants to learn and hear more because that they care about you. And they're genuinely interested in you and what you have to say. These are what I call open-hearted questions. And then there are other questions. Other questions that get asked. Questions that are not, let's just say, bolstered with a backdrop of support or any clear intention of loving curiosity and concern or excitement about what you're up to. These I'd call mean-hearted questions. Have you ever been asked a mean-hearted question? Questions that are meant to catch you? Or point out some shortcoming in your life? Questions that are really just meant to embarrass you, even if they might be skillfully worded to make the asker look totally innocent and well-intentioned. Sometimes ridiculous scenarios are created just to see how you'll react or respond. Again, questions that are just trying to make you look bad. And I'm afraid, I hope not, but I'm afraid that these kinds of questions can show up during the holidays too. During this season of questions. And throughout the whole year, of course. They could even be the exact same examples that I just gave, but the tone is very different. So tell us about life in the big city. With a clear disdain for the location that you chose to live in or maybe the decision that you've made. There's disapproval by some. How are classes going? Knowing full well that you're not in school at the moment. Someone's trying to make that point publicly around the table. Maybe you've made a decision to work instead of going to school like maybe some of your siblings. What new projects are you working on now? That same question that could have been asked in a loving way before has suddenly got this different tone to it as it's hinting at some past failure or a pattern of jumping from thing to thing, from project to project without ever finishing. Some questions, friends, are just cruel. It can just be cruel. So pay attention to questions these days and in this quickly approaching holiday season. Pay attention to questions and pray for God always to be on your lips and on your heart as you both ask questions and also respond to questions in these coming days. That's just a sort of an aside here. Just think about those questions. Pay attention and ask God. Be with me, God, as we answer and ask questions, that they be open-hearted questions, not mean-hearted questions. Jesus, once again, is experiencing the latter form of questions here in this text for today. Mean-hearted questions. The kinds meant to embarrass and catch. That's what the Sadducees are really after. Just to give a little context, Jesus has now entered into Jerusalem in chapter 20. So he's gone through the Palm Sunday, that whole story, and now he's in the temples. He's teaching in the one temple. He's teaching in the temple, and here he is with Sadducees, and they are coming at him. You can almost hear the cruelty in the Sadducees' tone, and they have given him really a ridiculous scenario, even for ancient ears. So in ancient times, this was a practice that if a man dies, his wife would then be married to her brother-in-law. It's a strange thing, but it was meant in that time to protect her because the widow was without an advocate. And so if the brother then marries her, it's a shelter of protection. Even for ancient years, I mean, that's a strange thing to us now. It's hard to imagine that at all. But in that time, that was actually meant as a way of caring for her. But then the Sadducees just give this really strange thing. If there were seven brothers and they just keep dying, then who's she going to be with? I mean, it's just one of those questions. I almost imagine someone at the Thanksgiving table not asking this question. But you know, some of those questions, you just kind of look and go, did you really just ask that? Come on. If family members that do this, you're like, come on, really? You're going to bring this up? What is your intent with a question like this? Whose wife will the woman be in heaven, they ask. But Christ once again uses their mean-heartedness to teach us a lesson about God and about justice and peace, to offer this vision of justice. Often the asker of the cruel question has no desire to really learn anything. They're just trying to make a point or just have the satisfaction of embarrassing the person who they're asking the question. And I think that's the Sadducees here too. I don't think, this is my interpretation, I don't think they were genuinely trying to learn from Jesus here. But we get to, in his response, 2,000 years later, we get to look with fresh eyes and consider Christ's response to this crazy scenario and crazy question. Whose wife will the woman be, they asked. And Jesus responds with a vision of heaven. In God, that is, in heaven, a woman will not be passed down like an object from brother to brother. In God, everyone is valued fully. The text says they will become like angels. In God, no one is cast aside or passed along crudely. In God, mean-heartedness and cruelty is no more. Tears and pain are no more. In God, dying is no more. Jesus gives us a glimpse of heaven here. Can you imagine that? I hope that you can. And I hope that these strange ideas in this text today might even give us some direction and instruction for how we live now. What would it look like to lift others up like angels? Maybe let ourselves be seen and lifted up too, as angels, to use a term from this text from Luke. That's the image here. Do you see yourself as an angel? Are we capable of seeing and treating others as angels? Each person that walks into this church this next week, starting today, can we welcome them as angels in our midst? What if you envision each person who comes into your business or your classroom or your workplace or sits at the cafe table next to you or waits at the stoplight across from you as you're driving as an angel? Wouldn't that change everything? Not just someone to be passed by or passed down or passed over like the widow in the Sadducees' crazy scenario, but rather angels. Maybe their example is not all that ridiculous after all when we think about how carelessly we can overlook one another, how we can pass one another down, pass issues on. Maybe because we're in such a hurry or we're suspicious of the other. Or actually, somewhere deep down, we believe that we are better than someone else, that they're not worthy of angelic dignity. This text is a wake-up call, friends in Christ. It's a wake-up call here in mid-November to see our neighbors, to see strangers in our midst, to see family members and community partners, not just as fellow human beings, but as angels. Talk about resurrection. Christ lives. We sung it. I know that my Redeemer lives. Christ lives, and so do we. And not just as mere humans, but in Christ, we live as angels, like angels for one another and for this hurting planet. Friends, we can glimpse today. We can live into a bit of heaven, even here and now, even in these mean-hearted days. Our God is a God of life and is calling us to open our eyes and our hearts even now. This new life is ours and not just for after we leave this earth. This can give us instruction for now. I want to show you this. Somebody made this for me last year. Do you kids remember this project? Last year we put angels on the Christmas tree. I don't even know who made this. Did you, Allison? Did you make this one? Yeah. You might have made some like these. This has been hanging in my office this whole year, so I can see it. It's right across from my desk. It's just the shape of an angel. I just want to show it to you. Think about hanging an angel in your car somewhere, maybe on the rear view, maybe not this big, but just a little reminder of angels in our midst. That you're an angel through baptism, God raises us up, and that there are angels truly all around us. Maybe it changes our perspective. It's almost like new glasses that we get, and you just see things differently. Think about putting an angel in a prominent place, in your car, or maybe at home, over the sink. Just a reminder of what God does. Our God is a God of the living, this text says. A God of the now, in other words. And this God has come near to be with us. In wine, and in water, and in wheat, and in whatever old way God chooses to show up. In this community. In this congregational meeting that we have today after the service, God chooses just to show up and be with us in this neighborhood, in this city, even about this Capitol Beltway. This God of the living has chosen to come alongside us, and so we start living anew this day, open-hearted, interested and caring for others, noticing others, slowing down to appreciate the angels all around us. This is our call for today. This is grace again, showered down on you and on me. Thanks be to God. Christ will come, and Christ is here now. Amen.
At Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.